We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Somebody shout amen when you got it. Y'all pretty quick. 20 years ago, it took you like a half hour to find it. I'm flipping the pages. I'll read for you. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." When was the last time you got up and said, "You know, I'm going to go see about this thing that I heard about in church on Sunday? This word that I got on Sunday, let me get up and see about that word." Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. Our focal verse for this series, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Over the past several years, I've noticed about myself, and I would assume you would agree, that news has the ability to shape my thoughts, my belief, and my action. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it still has the ability to shape my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions. The problem with news having that ability on me, it's not always constant, consistent news. Sometimes I might get good news. Sometimes I might get news. It might be bad news. I was perusing the MSN website the other day, and this is a news website, but on the news website, there was a button for good news. There's all sorts of news, and as of late, for the past couple years, there's been this brand new news that's like fake news. There's Fox News, there's CNN News, there's all types of news. One thing I found about news, though, one thing I found out about it, is that any news that's going to have an impact on me, in order for it to have an effect on me, I must feel that it is pertinent and relevant to me and or my situation. I must feel that it is relevant to me, it is pertinent to me, it relates to me, or something that I'm connected to. Would you agree? So in the Underwood household, we don't watch news. I could probably count on one hand how many times we've actually turned the news on in my house. Maybe like two or three times in like ever. But you don't ever sit and just like watch the news. Like we don't all huddle up to watch the news, right? The news is something that you put on and you're washing clothes. You're sweeping the floor. You're cooking or something along those lines. And then at some point, something will come on that will perk your ear, and then you start to pay attention. there was a traffic jam for 5 hours on I-4. Well, if I drive I-4, I'm paying attention to that because that's relevant, that's pertinent, that's going to impact me, that's going to have an influence on me. Now, for me, if I were watching that news, it would have to be there was a traffic jam on the turnpike for an hour that caused a backup. Why? Because I drive the turnpike every single day. It has to be relevant. It has to be pertinent. It has to be specific to me and or my situation. It doesn't matter what type of news it is, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care if it's good news. Even if it's good news, if I don't think it's relevant to me, it's not going to have an influence on my actions. If you look at the text, the angel says to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to who? You. The angel says, listen, this is good news, y'all. This is great news. It's for all people, but it's pertinent to you. He says, this is great news. We don't even know what to do in heaven, what's about to take place. This is good stuff. And I'm coming here and I'm letting you know that this news is good and it's pertinent to you. So what I want to do in this series, and I'm going to give you my whole exegetical idea, my thesis, in the form of a question. Write it down. Is the gospel good news to you? Have you yet been able to find yourself in the Christmas story? I'm telling you, it's great news. But is it pertinent to you? Is it pertinent to you? It doesn't matter how excited I get about it. It doesn't matter how good I tell you it is. But if you don't see it relevant to you, I can go on about my business. What I want to do today is to help you understand three reasons why this is good news. You ready? Point number one, I want you to write every point down. I'm not going to put it on the screen on purpose. God gave his insight regarding me. Write that down. God gave his insight regarding me. The text prescribes who God announces his presence to. And I would have you to understand that these men that God revealed himself to or gave word to, that he gave the good news to, were the least likely people who should have received this information. There were other people who were well equipped to receive this information. There were priests, there was churchgoers, there were people who were devout believers, all this different stuff that God could have revealed himself to announce his word to, but he chose some shepherds. I have to help you understand, too, that shepherds were considered to be outcasts in the community, in society. They were essentially like the bottom feeders of the society. They were ceremonially unclean just simply because of the profession they had. They couldn't go to church. They were oftentimes, too, accused of, in the commentaries that I read, were all very consistent. They were oftentimes accused of mixing up the word mine and thine, if you understand that. As they kind of went their way, they mixed up mine and thine. They had sticky fingers. That's what they were accused of. They had all of these different labels put on them. They had all these different things said about them that society had labeled them with. And one of the things that I love about the introduction of this text is that the labels that these men had on them didn't matter to God. Some labels that they had on themselves, they put on themselves because they shouldn't have done that. Some labels they had on them was simply because of who they were, the culture, the what they came from. And I don't know about you, but I've had a few labels put on me. I've had a label. Now, some of them I've put on myself. Some of them, they just kind of came. And I can remember just people saying things about me that I didn't understand. But what I'm here to tell you is that there's good news that looks beyond the labels that have been placed on you up until this point. Somebody shout, there's good news. I'm always reminded of being in the sixth grade we go to a career day, and I'm all excited because at this career day, you get to go on the computer. Now, computers, I'm not old, but there weren't many computers in Syracuse at the time. Just let me tell you that. You would go on the computer, and you would punch in what you wanted to be in life. And in sixth grade, I wanted to be a doctor. So I punch it in, and it spits out everything a doctor does and what a doctor's going to make. And at the end of the day, you had to get up and stand before the class and tell the class who you wanted to be. I stood up in front of my class, and I told the class that I wanted to be a doctor. My teacher, Miss Fisher, I hope she listens to this message, she says about me, you'd be lucky if you worked at McDonald's, a label. I was running through Syracuse all of my life, and everybody who saw me, that's Howard's boy. He's an Underwood, a label. There are some things that I did by myself. I mean, I've gotten myself into some stuff. He's an angry guy, a label. Don't mess with him because, you know, you better not say anything to him because you know he'll fly off the handle, another label. He had a baby out of wedlock, another label. All of the labels that life has placed on me, God shows up and says, listen, I don't care nothing about a label. I want to do something special through you. What am I saying to you? That the good news of this story is that God doesn't care about the labels that you even put on yourself. He sees you as something valuable. All these labels, even the labels that I put on myself, he said, I don't care about those labels. You feel you're not good enough. You're good enough for me. It's all these labels. And with these labels, they kind of put you off by yourself. Here's the thing. You're in here, but you segregate yourself in your mind. I'm not like them. They don't treat me the same way they treat everybody else. What I love about God is that through this message, through this good news that was delivered in the town of David, it let me know his insight about me. He loves me. Shout, he loves me. Number one, God gave his insight regarding me. Number two, God has come near me. God has come near me. While the shepherds were out in the middle of their normal mess, an angel appears and says, hey guys, I got some good news. God just showed up in Bethlehem. You might want to go check that out. And I could imagine that the word that was given to these men, it perplexed them. It had to have perplexed them. Because you have to understand the religious sect that they came up in that day, everything that they would have understood about God would have came from religion. And religion would have told them that God didn't want anything to do with these men. The church had decided, or the religious sect had decided, that these men were ceremonially unclean, meaning that they couldn't even come to church. These guys would have been considered as far away from God as you can get. But God shows up, and he comes, shout, near. And I want you to understand that your religious acts don't get you closer to God. It is what you believe about God that gets you closer to God. I want you to understand that God sent his son Jesus. The good news in all of this is that it doesn't matter what the religious sect has said about you or how they have judged you. All of that doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus has given us an opportunity to have a relationship with our Father. Somebody shout relationship. So that doesn't matter how much I go to church if I don't have relationship. You can religiously do anything. Do you know that? Like, religion doesn't mean a whole lot. You can religiously do the wrong thing all the time. It is about relationship. I sit and watch these. I've been traveling a lot lately, and I fly Delta. Just other stuff is okay, but Delta's the best. I fly Delta, and I make sure I check myself in on my app, and choose my seat and all this stuff, When you get to the gate, it is always the gate where you're getting ready to take off. Let's just say it's gate 74. And when you get up to gate 74, you see all of these people jockeying for position. They got their bags and they're just getting up to the, you know, in front of the line. And as a matter of fact, when I was in flying out of Atlanta the other day, the person at the gate was saying, listen, people, you need to get in your line. Get in your line. It doesn't matter. Just get in your line. What does your ticket say? Get in that line. What does your ticket say? Get in that line. But the people, for some reason, don't understand that it doesn't matter how close you get to the gate. You will get on the plane when they call your seat. You can get in front of me all you want, but if I'm in zone one and you're in zone three, I'll see you later when you get on the plane, because they have already determined how I get on this plane. What I'm trying to get across to you is that God has already determined how you get into heaven, and that's through relationship, not religion. So you can try to be religious all you want. You can try to be holy all you want. If you don't have relationship, you're not getting on the plane. It's not about religion. It is all about relationship. And it is predetermined that God desires relationship with us. How do I know? Because he sent his son Jesus into this earth. That is the good news. That I don't have to sacrifice bullocks and I don't have to sacrifice a bull. It was a one for all when Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. That is what matters. Tell somebody that's good news. The other day, I was looking at my flight, and I could see all the people getting in front of me, and they were kind of pushing me a little bit, and I'm a big guy, and I take offense to that. Like, you see me. I could do something, but by the grace of God, I don't. And I'm looking at my seat, and when I looked down, I saw that I got an upgrade, a free upgrade. It just hit my phone. I said, oh, Lord, it's an upgrade. And when you get upgraded for Delta, you go to Sky. You're no longer Zone 1. And I'm watching everybody in Sky, and everybody in Sky looking at me. It's like a class thing. When you get up to the gate, like if you're not in Sky, then, you know. But what they didn't know was that I had gotten an upgrade. So when they went, I went. It doesn't matter about your position. It matters what it says. And the word says, you shall see me. If you have relationship with me, it's all about relationship. Shout us about relationship. Number one, God gave his insight regarding me. Number two, God has come near me. And number three, final point, God knows me better than I think. God knows me better than I think. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. When Jesus, the Son of Mary, was born into this world, I have to help you to understand that God gave us exactly what we needed. He gave us exactly what we needed. That means that he must have been paying attention and perusing my life to see my shortcomings, to see my downfalls, to see my hurt, to see my pain. And he sent into this world the very thing I needed to fix it all. The very thing that I needed to fix it. He sent it all in one package to fix it all because he knew exactly what I needed. And when he looked at me, he says, you know what? Wanzel needs a restoration of joy. And the text lets me know that he restores my joy through this Savior. He says, I have great joy, not just regular joy. I'm talking about joy that you hadn't experienced yet, some joy that doesn't go away. He says, I'm going to give great joy to all people. Today, a Savior has been born in the city of David. He's going to give me joy by way of this Savior because he knew exactly what I need. That makes me think about every time that I've thought to myself, God doesn't know what he's doing. Is he going to do anything about what I'm going through right now? Does he see it? Does he understand it? I mean, is he paying attention? Did this just catch him off guard because it just caught me off guard? Does he see what's going on in my life? But long before Diane and Howard thought about Wanzel, he sent into the world exactly what I needed. So that means that he's always paying attention to me. I think it was about 2 years ago. I can't recall if it was for Christmas or a birthday. But Tina and I were with Kennedy. And she's only 11, y'all. So, I mean, at the worst, if she was 8 or 9. And she has this card that someone had given her, and she opens the card, and Tina and I are just sitting there looking, and she opens it, and she says, "Oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed." So I'm thinking to myself, this has to be big. I said, "Well, what is it, Kennedy?" She says, "It's $20. I was so broke. Now, we're trying to wrap our minds around, how does this girl understand what broke feels like? Listen to me, though. The key in all of that is that the $20 was exactly what she needed because she knew she was broke. You have to understand that you're broken and that you're desperately in need of a savior. So in order for you to see this as good news, I have to know that there is something broken in me so that I can see him for what he is." That's a hard thing to wrap your hands around, but yes, ma'am, I'm broken. And there is nobody else that can fix this but him. God sends into the world exactly what we needed in the form of a baby so that I could restore my joy, so that I could have his peace, so that I could live the life that he ordained for me to have. But I have to understand that that is good news for me. It's great joy for everybody, but he brought the Savior in the world for me. Stand to your feet. I don't know about you, but it's hard sometimes to hear the Christmas story and put myself in it. Is it relative? It's good news, Wanzel, but is it relative? Does it matter? When I think about the Christmas story, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. There was something that she knew she was lacking inside of her that only Jesus could fix. And I've come to tell you this morning, that's what the Christmas story is all about. She was able to analyze herself and do an inventory to say, you know what? I'm supposed to be living life better than this, and I don't care what label they didn't put on me. God sent his son into the world so that you could rid yourself of every label, so that you could live life free of fear, that you don't have to be bound by insecurities, that you don't have to be overwhelmed with emotion. He says, "I leave here on this earth with you my peace." But the genesis of all of that is where the story begins. In this series, I want us to be able to answer the question, is the gospel good news to me? Father, we bless and we thank you for this opportunity to surround ourselves with your word. I pray, God, that we're able to grasp all that is at stake for us and what you have offered us. Father, you've offered us peace through your son, Jesus. You've offered us peace in our hearts and our minds, but more importantly, God, you've offered us peace with you. So if we can grasp this baby Jesus that was born into the earth for me as good news, if I can see that as my good news, Father, my life can change. Everything that's been said about me, everything that I felt about myself, everything that I've gone through up until this point, God, You want to be involved in that. You want to be the Lord of my life. You want to be the Messiah of my life. You want to be in charge of my life. You want to be the authority of my life. But it starts with me understanding that you are my Savior, and I'm in need of a Savior. And that, my friend, is good news. So, Father, help us, position our hearts and our minds to be able to receive today that you sent your son Jesus as good news for us. Every person that stands in this place today, it is good news for us. Help us to comprehend it, Father, and help us to process it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout amen. Give God a hand clap.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's Word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.